I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles in the closing time that we have to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 12. In this section of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can see Paul talking about the light, the manifested light. Who or what is this manifested light? Well, if we look at verses 4 and 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And then verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Who or what is this light that is manifested, that is seen, that is made known? It is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how is Paul describing this light, and how should it be manifested in our lives? Well, in verses 7 through 12, we're going to look at three different points really quick here, and how this manifested light can and should be seen through our lives. The first point is in verse 7. We see that the manifested light should be seen through empowered vessels. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What is this treasure that Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Well, I believe he's referring back once again to verses 4 through 6. He says, "We have this treasure." What is that treasure? It's the gospel. The light of the gospel. Is the gospel precious to you? It should be. There was one day in my life when I was 4 years old that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful that my dad took the time to share the gospel with me. I'm thankful that there was a man in my dad's business, my dad's place of employment, that took the time to share the gospel with him. And when I was 2 years old, my dad trusted Christ as Savior. He shared the gospel with my mom, and she trusted Christ as Savior. From the earliest age, I remember hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for me. If you're a believer tonight, if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there was a person that came to you and took the time to share the gospel. The manifested light seen through empowered vessels. We see this treasure, the treasure of the gospel. Where is this treasure held? It's in earthen vessels. Jars of clay are earthly bodies that are made of dust. They are weak. They are easily broken. They are fragile. I just turned 45, and I remember 5 years ago now when I turned 40, it seemed like things started breaking down physically. And as I talk with people, they say, "Oh, it only gets better with every decade that goes by." Why are you laughing? These frail, weak human bodies that are prone to disease, prone to ailments, God entrusted the gospel to these frail, weak human vessels. You know, it's interesting as we look in the past, sometimes early civilizations would use earthen vessels to hold precious things. My mind goes back to an illustration of back in the 1940s. A young shepherd boy in Qumran was tending to his sheep. And as he was walking by a series of caves on the hillside, he would take some rocks and try to, you know, throw them up there into those caves and try to see if he could get those rocks into the openings of those caves. And one rock that he threw up there, he heard some clinking sounds. So he went up there to investigate, and he saw all kinds of clay pots that were lined up in this cave. And in those clay pots, there were rolls of scrolls. We now know those as the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were portions of God's Word that had been preserved for hundreds and even a thousand more years. Is the Word of God precious to you? It should be, as a believer. Earthen vessels. The manifested light being seen through these earthen vessels. Why earthly vessels? You know, treasure usually comes in great packages. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, though, came to this earth. He came to this earth and took on himself the form of a servant, the form of a human. Why is this treasure to be seen in weak, frail human vessels? I believe the answer is right here in the text, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The focus is not to be on the treasure, on the vessel, but on the treasure and the power behind it. How many of you have ever been to an art gallery or a museum? A few of you, okay. Imagine going with me into an art gallery and coming up to a famous painting by Rembrandt, and you get to that painting and you say, wow, look at that frame. Look at the beautifully carved wood on that frame. Is that what you would do if you encountered a famous painting? No, you're there to look at what's inside the frame, right? Well, think of another illustration. Imagine a young lady that gets engaged. What does she usually do? She comes into church and she's holding her finger out like this, right, for everybody to see. And you take that finger and you say, wow, look at that five-prong setting on that ring. That is an interesting setting. Is that what you would say? No, no. She'd probably slap you in the face and say, wake up, dummy. Look at the diamond, right? That's where the focus should be. Or maybe you get gifts for your birthday or for Christmas, and you receive this beautifully wrapped gift, and you look at it and you say, wow, Thomas Kincaid wrapping paper. This is beautiful. And you sit there for 5 minutes admiring that wrapping paper. Is that what you're supposed to do with a gift? No, no. You rip it open and try to get to what's inside it, right? Unless you're like my mom, used to hand out scissors when I was a little kid, and we would snip the tape, and I think I saw some of that same wrapping paper back in May when I helped them move. Sorry, Mom, if you're watching. No, the focus is not to be on the vessel, but on the treasure or the power behind it. The light shines because of the power. This is a dynamic power that comes from God and continuously belongs to Him. This is that power to change in a person's life. We saw this over and over again in Brazil. I think of one man by the name of Gilberto. His name in English would be Gilbert. He's the same age as my dad, 67, tall, thin, descendant of Italian immigrants. And one day, he and I were working on a task at the church. He'd been saved just about 6 months before we arrived in Porto Alegre. And I asked him to share his testimony of salvation. And he said, you know, before I trusted Christ as Savior, I was a spiritist. I was like, okay. In Porto Alegre, we have 3,000 spiritist centers. And so I know it's very prevalent in that area. He said, well, I wasn't just your average run-of-the-mill spiritist. I was a witch doctor. And I stood back and looked down. I was like, wow, okay. It just didn't fit my stereotype in my mind of what a witch doctor would look like. And he said, yes, people would come to me and we'd have our seance and our time together, and they would come to me with their pain and they would lay down on a table in front of me. And many times I would pass my hands over their body and I could feel where their pain was. And in some cases, I was even able to heal them of their pain. Satan does have power. We cannot deny that. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, if you're a believer. And Gilberto continued with his testimony. His wife and his daughter trusted Christ as Savior. They came home one day and shared the gospel with him. And he said, no, I don't want to hear that. And so for the next several months, he continued on with his normal business and then also serving as a witch doctor. But he was watching his wife and his daughter. And he noticed a change in their speech, a change in their attitudes, a change in their actions. They weren't forcing the gospel on him, but they were changing as they grew in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was observing this in their lives. He said it created a struggle internally for him. He started saying to himself, okay, am I going to serve the dark side where I know I have power, or am I going to serve the light where I've seen this transformation take place? And he said, I chose the light. I chose Jesus Christ. And the transformation that took place in his life, I did not know him before he trusted Christ. But I was told that he was a very violent man. Sometimes he would take these chairs and just throw them across the room and smash them against the walls. But after he trusted Christ, he was a very meek, gentle, mild-mannered man, one that wanted to serve the Lord. He actually went through our Bible seminary as well, even at his advanced age. He wanted to serve the Lord. The power to change. We are vessels that are created by God. We're empowered by Him to show forth the manifested light. Richard Baxter, a famous Puritan author, once said, "I was but a pen in God's hand, and what praise is due to a pen?" Jim Elliot, one of the five missionaries that was killed by the Aka Indians in Ecuador back in the 1950s, he said, "We are a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody." These men and many others have understood that all praise and glory should go to God and not to the vessel. People should see the light and not the vessel. The power is from God to shine forth the light. It doesn't come from the vessel. The manifested light that is seen through empowered vessels. Moving on in verses 8 and 9, we see the manifested light being seen through persecuted vessels. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Have you ever felt that way in your life? Squeezed, hard-pressed, perplexed, at a loss at how to proceed? Persecuted, pursued, as in somebody tracking prey or an enemy? Maybe cast down in your spirit? Maybe you weren't physically cast down, left for dead like Paul. But I'm sure each one of us, if we were honest with ourselves and each other, we could say that we have felt like these things before in our lives. Does the light still shine through our lives even when we go through those difficult times? Even when we are in intense pain? Even when we are going through a hardship? Paul goes on in verse 10. He says, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul understood that the suffering that he went through was nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on the cross for him. All the apostles understood that. We know in Acts, we don't have time to look there, but they were beaten. They were cast into prison. But as they came out from those circumstances, they were singing. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. How is it in our lives? Is the light being seen through a vessel that is being persecuted? Yes, it might not be that outward form of persecution that we think, but through a vessel, through a body that is distressed, that is troubled, that is perplexed, that is cast down. Are we still manifesting the light, even in the middle of trials and distress? And then in verses 11 and 12, we're hurrying through these points because of time. The manifested light that should be seen through persuaded vessels. Paul said in verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." This is one of those Pauline paradox that we see. A paradox is not a couple of medical doctors. Understand, a pair of docs, okay? A paradox is a seemingly absurd statement or proposition that when we examine it more closely proves to be well-founded or true. What is this that Paul is saying here? Life and death? Death and life? What exactly is that? Well, he understood that. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he talks about death to self, showing life in Christ. What did he say? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You saw my hand going back and forth. It's the Christ life in us. It's not ourselves. We do not belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price if we have trusted Christ as Savior. The price of the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for us. Paul was persuaded, he was convinced, he was confident of his calling, not only as an apostle, but we know that he was called way back on the road to Damascus, that calling unto salvation. And each one of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have been called to salvation. We've been called to show the light of the gospel. Are you convinced of God's control in your life as you shine forth the light? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Are you shining forth the light tonight? Are you letting it shine through you? Remember, you don't have the power in you to generate that light. It comes from God. Is that light being seen through your vessel tonight? Can others look at you and say there's something different about you? Maybe you've allowed sin to tarnish the light. Maybe your fellowship with God has been broken, and there is not a connection to the power source. Are you willing to let God have his way and to empower you, maybe even if trouble comes into your life? Are you persuaded of his call in your life as a believer? You know, each one of us encounter unsaved people every day, wherever it might be, the grocery store, the gas station, might be in your own home with a family member, or at work with a colleague. Are we letting the light of the gospel shine through us to them? They need to hear. They need to know. Yes, it's important to send missionaries to far places of the world to share the gospel. But we have an obligation, each one of us as believers, to share the gospel with lost souls right around us. I believe that that is why God has allowed us as believers to continue on in this earth, to be salt and light in our sphere of influence. How are you doing with that tonight? That's my challenge for you as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which is forever settled in heaven, that we can base our lives upon it. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, the living word, to come to this earth, to take upon himself the form of a human, to go through this life, and to serve as an example for us. We thank you that he was obedient to the call in his life to go to the cross, that he was willing to suffer shame and to bear upon himself all of our sins, and that he shed his blood so that we can have forgiveness of sins when we confess them. We thank you that he was willing to go to the death. We thank you also, Father, for raising him from the dead, that he is alive in heaven, preparing a place for each one of us that have trusted in him as Savior. Lord, I pray that as we reflect on this glorious gospel that each one of us that are believers have partaken in, that we would share this gospel with others, that the light of the gospel would shine forth in and through us, that others would see a difference in our lives and desire to know Jesus Christ as well. Help us, Lord, to be faithful until you call us home or until you come again. We ask this in Jesus' name.